Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
And this is Cindy Zimmerman with our Zimcast this week, sponsored by GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus. Last week, I had the pleasure of attending the 2012 World Food Prize Symposium in Des Moines, the first time I had been there since 2008, and I was really impressed by how much that event had grown. They had about 2,000 attendees from at least 70 countries, ranging from Midwestern high school students to the Princess of Dubai and the Secretary General of the United Nations. Our sponsor for coverage of that event was Elanco, and we certainly appreciate them for allowing us to bring this great event to our AgWired audience. Now, part of the World Food Prize event, which is a week-long deal, is the Borlaug Dialogue, named after the venerable Norman Borlaug, who is really the father of the World Food Prize. And it featured a variety of different panels and speakers who addressed various topics related to feeding the world. And one of those speakers was Pierre Ferrari, President and CEO of Heifer International. And I had the chance to interview him after he spoke at the World Food Prize. First of all, Pierre, why don't you just give us a little background history of Heifer International?
Thanks, Cindy. So we've been around for 70 years. We were founded by a man called Dan West, who was an Indiana dairy farmer. And he discovered when he was doing some of his missionary work, helping refugees, handing out milk, he said, these people don't need milk, they need a cow. And from that simple idea, we've been placing animals and livestock all over the world now for 70 years. And clearly what we do today is much, much more sophisticated than what Dan West did, but nonetheless, the fundamental idea is the same. So we go into communities and we work with communities and preparing them in all sorts of ways, socially, psychologically, as well as practically on how to bring on livestock, take care of the livestock, take care of themselves, and improve their livelihood, improve their social conditions, et cetera. So,
how many countries does Heifer International work in?
Right now we're working in about 48 countries. We'll be shrinking it down probably to something less than that. It's not clear exactly, 42, maybe even below 40, principally because we want to focus our resources. And rather, and there's some countries where we've been a long time, and I think it's the poverty issues are not as severe as they are, say, in India or in Bolivia or in Rwanda or in some other places where we really ought to, we've identified and we've gone through a strategic process to understand where the poorest of the poor are, where the least among us are, and we try to focus our resources there. I think we need to work with extreme poverty, and there's poverty in this country, and we're actually working on that too, in both in the Delta region and Appalachia. We're working on developing some programs there. So with this focus, we're probably going to end up something in the 30s is my guess, principally to focus.
Now, really, there's been a lot of talk, especially when we talk about the growing world population, about the importance of animal protein in the diet and the fact that as people increase their incomes, that they want more animal protein. So Heifer International should be playing a central role in that.
Yeah, we are. I think, you know, animal source foods have, from a nutritional point of view, have a tremendous impact. And we're talking about milk, we're talking about eggs, as well as meat. Now, a lot of these communities are pretty loath to kill their animals. They'd rather have an animal that produces all of the work, whether it be hair from wool, and, I mean, wool from sheep and all that kind of thing. So the micronutrient availability of food, of animal source foods is actually very, very good. Supplementation is one strategy. The other one is to actually produce and have available animal source foods such as milk and meat and eggs. So we are playing a major role in, and we have good data to show that when a community has brought in livestock and is actually successfully raising livestock and procreating them, I mean, because one of the nice things about animals is that, you know, they multiply, then the nutritional, especially the children's nutritional status, improves radically.
Mm-hmm. Well, today now you were also talking about fish. And we don't think about fish when we think about Heifer International. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
We have fish projects in every continent. It can be as simple as a very small pond growing tilapia or catfish in Peru to extensive seagoing fishing kind of projects in Haiti. We've got Ecuador. We do a lot of fish. We shrimp in some places. It's fantastic protein. The farmers can handle it at a very small scale, so they can literally have a small aquarium, so to speak, and grow enough food for the family very rapidly. And if you've got the right type of fish, you can feed them waste from the agricultural practices. So there's a kind of a holistic ecological balance between the food that you grow or the vegetables that are grown, feeding the fish. And if you clean the aquariums or the ponds correctly, you can use the fish waste back onto the gardens. And so there's a very holistic, very healthy relationship between all of the animals and the plants and everything else.
Did I see also that you have also work with bees, with honeybees?
Yeah, we work with honeybees. In Honduras, we work, and we work with bees. We place bees in Africa. The principal reason for bees is for resale. Now, the family can actually eat some of the honey, but it's not as nutritious. I mean, it's not a principal source of food or calories. So most of it is a commercial enterprise. And taking care of bees, is once you've been trained, is actually quite easy. If you've not been trained, be careful.
True. Well, is there any pollination aspect of them as well?
Yeah, no, but not well, yes, but it's the fundamental reason is for commercializing the wax and the honey. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very good. Well, of course, the theme of World Food Prize this year is partnerships. And I know Heifer International relies you have some great partners. Tell us a little bit about them.
So, yeah, the partners we have them all over the world. So we work – one of the partnerships we have is with local governments. I mean, across the board, the communities we work with, after the empowerment, after the economic improvements are going on and making sure that they have access to extension services from the government for veterinary purposes and that kind of thing. So that's got to continue. So that's one of the partnership. You know, that doesn't seem like a partnership, but it is. Now, we're working with organizations like Danone, which has Danone Yogurt, Green Mountain Coffee, which produces Green Mountain Coffee. We are in conversation, or we actually work with Walmart in a couple of places. So they're all part of an understanding of the value chain, you know, basically from production all the way to market. Who is going to buy the products? So we're trying to move most of our farming communities, we're trying to convince them, because their decision ultimately to produce substantial amount of surplus foods, which can then be sold down the value chain. Because we believe smallholder farmers are, and there's 600 million of them in the world, we believe that they are the solution or the principal solution to feeding the 2 billion more people that are coming. If we don't mobilize the 600 million farmers, who are mostly women, into producing more food so that we move from subsistence, basically feeding themselves, to actually feeding the world, that's the goal here.
Well, and I know another one of your partners is Elanco, which must be important as far as once you get these animals out there, you have to make sure that they stay healthy, right?
Maintaining animal health, the relationship with Elanco is very interesting. They are very philanthropic. They really believe in ending poverty. So they've been supporting us in some of our projects, not so much because they need markets for their products, but fundamentally because they really believe in the mission. And they've been incredible partners in introducing us to some of their clients. If you think about who they work with, their clients are part of the food value chain all over the world. So the connection and the symbiosis is very high. So we love Elanco.
Well, wonderful. And I know really, you know, we hear a lot about Heifer International because this is something that anyone can do,
right,
to support Heifer,
right,
International. And when we get the flyers about it, I love that because like, you know, you can buy a heifer for someone like that. And that's really good. Tell us a little bit about that, about how just your average person out there, here's this interview, you know, they can help support Heifer International.
Our donors are just fantastic. They get the model. You know, it's actually a very simple idea, which, you know, as I said, I mentioned to Dan West. If you place an animal in a family that is suffering or struggling with hunger and poverty, they can change their lives very rapidly. And kids get it. A six-year-old gets that idea, and a sophisticated development, you know, professional also gets that idea, and, you know, will add a lot of complexity because there is. But the fundamental idea is the same. You know, that animal will get placed, it will procreate, will feed it well, take care of the animal, and the animal will be an incredible support. And, you know, I actually love talking to 6-, 7-, 8-year-olds and going to school and sitting down with them. They have the most interesting questions. But, you know, what I love most about them is that they so clearly and simply understand what happens. You know, what happens to a family that has an animal that produces stuff. That's what it is.
Well, how can people find out more about Heifer International?
Well, like everybody else, we have a website, heifer.org, and if you want to donate, there's lots of ways of donating, including, you know, buying an animal, or all sorts of services are available. So that's the way they can get involved. Now, I'll tell you, even though that's wonderful, and obviously we need the money to do our work, we're a charity, the as important is to talk about and get to understand all the poverty and hunger that exists in the world and to talk about it, because the problem is enormous. I mean, I think you've been in some of the sessions. There's 1 billion people are hungry. I mean, the size of the problem is humongous. But I don't think it's going to take enormous resources, but it's going to take a commitment. And if more of us are engaged in this thing, if more of us understand, wow, this is a really terrible problem. People going to bed hungry. And unfortunately, about 25,000 children under 5 die every day of malnutrition-related diseases. So that's 25 yesterday, 25,000 today. It's a massacre. So get engaged, talk about it. You know, get informed, talk to other people, fundraise, not just for Heifer, but for, you know, whoever else that does this kind of work. We can't go on with that kind of death rate, you know.
Well, and that's why World Food Prize is so important in helping to raise awareness, and especially in a country like ours where we have so much. But you talked about also, speaking of our country, you talked about actually a project that you're doing here in this country, or you're working on.
We're working in the Delta region in Arkansas, which is our home state, and we're working in Appalachia. The poverty issues there and the hunger issues are dramatic. And the problems are different. I mean, obviously the circumstances, but the depth the depth of despair and hopelessness that we see in these communities is as deep, if not deeper, than some of the communities we see. And we have to work. We're going to have to work extra hard to actually convince the communities that there is hope, that there is a way of getting out of some of the despair they have. We're doing quite well in Appalachia. We've started very well there. And then the Delta, we're continuing to work. But there is some really serious, serious poverty issues and hunger issues.
And we just really don't think about that being that close to home. But I guess it's, as you said, you have difficulty. It's a different type of mindset of people here in the United States as opposed to people in India or somewhere else, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Very different. And, you know, we're utilizing a slightly different technique to reach these communities and have conversations with them. We're using our, what we call values-based holistic community development work, and we're also utilizing what we call collective impact, which is to bring in a whole bunch of other players and convening them in conversation about what can be done. And that's just started. So there's lots of other problems that have been dealt with, mostly urban problem with this kind of approach. We're basically working in rural areas. We work with smallholder farmers everywhere, including the U.S. So I'm hopeful. We just started, but we are working in the U.S., yeah.
Well, Pierre, that's all the specific questions I have. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just thank you for giving the poor a voice. We're just an avenue with which to talk about what's going on and hopefully change a lot of people's lives.
Once again, our guest today on the Zimcast has been Pierre Ferrari, President and CEO of Heifer International. If you'd like to find out more about this great organization, the web address is very simple, heifer as in the cow, heifer.org. Thanks again to the sponsors of our Zimcast, Monsanto, Roundup Ready Plus for Weed Management Solutions, and Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.